listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Good evening and welcome to Nerds Assemble episode 198. Only two more episodes to the big 200. I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
I'm Paul, aka Paul.
That's the one.
I'm Paul, aka Retroid, the bringer of destruction.
As you can see, we're doing really well at hosting this week's episode, so hurrah! Don't forget, any show notes you can find on www.nerdsassemble.co.uk, and you can tweet us right now at Nerds Podcast. So, last week, fans of a certain Netflix series were dumbfounded and in shock, I would say, due to Netflix announcing the cancellation of Sense8 after only two seasons.
Boo
indeed.
Which is why we're going to actually talk about why Netflix is so different to other TV shows and why this potential sadness happened. Bastards.
Well, I mean, isn't the official story it's too expensive?
Well, yeah, apparently after actually reading how much it was costing an episode, I could see potentially where they're coming from, because it was reportedly costing £8 million an episode to film.
Yeah.
By the same token, though, I mean, because I do get the feeling that the Big Bang Theory and, like, Buffy were, like, in the multi-millions per episode.
Oh, well, they were, definitely. But there is one big difference. Netflix get their revenue from subscribers and subscribers only.
Hmm.
Big Bang Theory, Buffy, got all their money back through advertising, merchandise, DVD sales, video sales, and other bits. Which, Sense8, I'm assuming, will probably come out on DVD and Blu-ray at some point.
There are other Netflix series that have turned up on TV, like, for example, Lilyhammer. I first caught that on the Beeb. That's a Netflix original. That's a Netflix financed produced series, which also got cancelled after, was it two seasons?
Two seasons, yes. But that was also partly funded by the BBC as well, wasn't it? A bit like Riverdale with Warner Brothers, is it?
CW,
yeah. But it's partly funded by them and partly funded by Netflix. And going on throughout the year, we're going to see a lot more shows like that.
Collaborations,
including Star Trek Discovery. Which opens up the question, is that the way it's going to go for Netflix?
I kind of hope not, in a way, because Netflix has always been like a outlet for really kind of outstanding content where, you know, you're going to get...
Original.
Original and quite thought-provoking and, you know, kind of, to a certain extent, controversial, stuff. I mean, say, yes, for example, Sense8 was, relatively controversial because of, like, the inclusions of like, a main trans character and stuff. Yeah. And a gay character, stroke bi character as well.
But that's what I loved about the show so much, because of its diverse range of characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was very diverse in almost all senses. It was refreshing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I did think at points that I am basically watching The Gay Agenda. This is an hour long The Gay Agenda on TV. But that's cool. Yeah, I liked that. That is definitely one of the reasons, I liked it. And it was just different.
I think it was great because I don't see any other TV outlet taking a chance like Netflix did with Sense8.
Well, it, Exactly. It's I will watch the one of the other series about a diverse cast who can randomly enter each other's minds and experience their environment and sort of join together in a sort of collective. I mean, apart from football, the world
through their powers.
Yeah, I really like the fact that when they were in. Kenya. I think was it Kenya?
Yeah.
You could tell it was Kenya when they were in India. You could tell it was India when they were in Germany or Amsterdam or Iceland or South Korea. They were. It wasn't when you're watching some series and say, "Yes, here we are in London," and it's just Trumpton.
What's that? Wall falling down wall behind you. Oh, it's a TV studio, bastards.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me wonder, because did you say like 8 million per episode?
Yeah. So, per episode, that for me, thinking about the business side of things, I can see where it's got to that stage where it's cost them X amount of money, and I believe I saw something where Netflix subscribers have gone down a little bit as well.
Hmm.
I know they've definitely at least sort of kind of plateaued.
Yes.
Yeah, and part of the stupidity of the stock market is, no, you must keep growing. So you do know there's, only financial, finite amount of, people with broadband and aware of subscription and on demand and, all that kind of thing. It's like, you can't just carry on 100% expanding all the bloody time.
No. And you have got the likes of Cody and that, which are not helping things, putting stuff on there for free and stuff, unfortunately. So it is getting to be a very, very difficult marketplace to actually be in to make money, I think. But I like Netflix because I like the fact that I don't have to watch adverts. I can just binge watch. There's so many positives to Netflix.
Hmm.
I have one or two issues with the way Netflix works at the moment, but not with the subscription method. My main thing is if I hover over a series, I don't want it to automatically start playing. Who thought of that? Stop it. Stop it right now.
That's how you get hooked, though.
It's not. It's how it puts me off, because I don't want to read the description, because I don't want it to start bloody playing it under the text when I'm just looking.
Somebody big up in Netflix said, if you start playing it and they start watching it, they will keep on watching it.
See what?
And that person should have their hand repeatedly slammed in a drawer.
See, one interesting thing that I do actually kind of like about Amazon Prime is the fact that they do have kind of trailers for their series. So if you kind of, read the description of it and think, that's kind of interesting, you could at least watch the trailer.
They started doing that on Netflix, haven't they?
Have they?
There's about three. Yeah, if you actually go to episodes and more, Sense8's got about three trailers for it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does have trailers, but that doesn't seem to be a 100% universal thing. And thankfully, they do have catch up,
yes,
as in a like season two catch up, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go, who the hell's that?
Yes.
Why does that matter? What?
See, I'm just using the app to Chromecast the TV, so maybe I'm missing those features just from the app.
Perhaps you may be. Yes. Perhaps, but it's still interesting because it's a shame they've cancelled that, but it's not the first show they've cancelled. They cancelled Marco Polo as well, and funny enough, it's for the same reasons. The official line was that it was getting too expensive to film, because I think that was costing something like $4 million an episode to film,
which I think is a great shame.
It is. I actually like Marco Polo, although to be fair, the last few episodes of season two, I did find I had to raid myself through it to get to the end and force myself to sit down and watch it. Whereas with Sense8, it was just literally carry on playing. carry on playing.
See, now,
yeah, like, oh, there's a new season of Sense8. I'm just going to have, you know, like two episodes a night. There you go.
Yes, exactly. But you never did. Well, I never did anyway. It was like, carry on playing. And then it'd come up, are you still watching this? Well, I was trying to, you fuckers.
Yeah, leave me alone. Stop judging me.
See, now, what I would do, instead of basically just axing the show altogether, is to basically just reduce the budget.
It's either that, or I was actually thinking about this the other day. One of the great things that got me ready for Sense8 Season 2 was the Christmas special, which was officially the first episode of Season 2.
Yeah.
So perhaps we could continue the story, but with those two-hour specials.
See, what made me curious about that, you know, looking in hindsight...
Yeah.
Did they do that specifically as a Christmas special, or did they do it as a let's try and get more people? There are more people with bums on seats at this time of year because it's, you know, it's cold.
They could have done, but it's still
and yeah, and dark. So, you know, let's see if we can get more people. You know, hey, watch this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I would have preferred if they just said we will have to cut the budget a bit, and also. We're looking at, you know, maybe partnering with a network somewhere,
Or even
something
just
like that. Just to spread the cost a little bit.
Or even your specials. I would have been quite happy with just feature-length specials. If they wanted to keep the budget and the production values up, and we had to sacrifice that for like three specials a year to continue the story, bonus.
So I mean, it's a real crying shame because it's one of the most interesting and unique stories that I've actually, you know, seen recently.
Yeah, definitely. And lest we forget, written by JMS, responsible for Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Yes. And obviously, I can never pronounce their name.
Wachowskis?
Thank you. That's the one. Bless them. It was a really good thing. But that's the other thing with Netflix, isn't it? They always tend to... We seem to be getting a big range of diverse talent from the past, which is quite nice to see as well.
I think with the Wachowskis having much longer to do what they wanted to do worked a lot better.
Yeah.
They seem to work in two ways, which is to have a merciless... producer standing behind them to see the first Matrix film, you know, to make sure that everything is incredibly lean, or large long TV series for them to, you know, play about with and, you know, paint it that way.
Actually get to do what they want to do, which is quite nice. There's another show they cancelled as well you were talking about earlier, Paul.
Oh, Get Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that one.
I've not watched it.
Apparently, Emily's
part
watched the problem. First.
We are part of the problem there.
Oh, sorry, season.
There's only two parts, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen the Get Down, but I did hear that was dogged in, you know, by issues and delays in production, so maybe that was, you know, another reason.
Quite possibly, yes.
Is that, you know, we all know that Netflix is not a bottomless pit of money that can just keep throwing down that hole. But, you know, we've all got favourite TV series that got knocked on the head, you know, well before their time.
Yeah.
And up until, you know, recent cancellations, it seemed like the Netflix model, you know, was the way, you know, to go to get, you know, things either continued or just start them on Netflix anyway.
Well, definitely, especially with all their remakes like Gilmore Girls. It keeps advertising on My Fuller House. I never wanted to watch that anyway. They're in the bidding war for the... At least on the bidding war for the reunion of Roseanne. Potentially. You know, it's That's the other thing with Netflix, though. It's got such a diverse back catalogue as well, which is quite nice.
Mm. And it's, I mean, technically speaking, it, you know, if this was actually brought back from the death, it wouldn't be the first time a TV show's been brought back. Far from it, in fact,
one of the shock announcements this TV season has been over that sci-fi series Timeless.
Oh yes, yeah, that being brought back after being officially cancelled.
Yeah. They actually, the fans got heard and they brought it back, which is quite nice. Made a nice change. Yeah. Which is always good. But they do seem to be heading into the mainstream a lot more as well. So the collaborations with Marvel over the Marvel series.
Yeah.
Now getting the Punisher series. Obviously the Defenders, which I'm really excited for. Jessica Jones season 2. And there's rumours that they'll potentially be even more Marvel shows on the way.
I'm not in huge rush for Iron Fist season 2. That can wait.
That can wait. Mm. Yes. I think they can actually tie that up quite nicely with the Defenders by the looks of things and just finish it off nicely, potentially. With them in the background.
With Iron Fist, you know, Jessica. Yes, you got the information on our target. Iron Fist, you stand in the corner. I'll handle the legal stuff.
And Luke, you are muscle.
Yeah. You can stand in the way and punch through walls. Iron Fist, you just be a spoilt rich twat over there.
Bless. Crazy, but yeah, so they're doing that, and they seem to be sticking to sort of we've got another House of Cards, haven't we?
Yeah, which I'm currently watching that
halfway through.
Cool, and obviously Orange is the New Black will be back on in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
and looking forward to that. And we've also been watching iZombie, which they've been
yes,
every time there's a new episode on US TV. There we go.
Yes.
I'll say, you know, for iZombie, it's bubblegum TV.
It is, yes. It's so, I mean, in this day and age, you kind of need a TV series that isn't so light and fluffy that it's just, like, not believable or anything. But you need it light enough so that it, you know, doesn't remind you of the real world and you get depressed all over again.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, let's all go and watch Handmaid's Tale. Oh, no, sorry. I was watching the news. Oh, God.
With Handmaid's Tale, Emily has already read the book, and she found it utterly depressing. And you know, after the, I think it was either the last episode or the episode before where you mentioned about Handmaid's Tale, and I was like, ooh. And then Emily was like, I'm not watching that. That's going to be too depressing. It's like, actually, you're probably right.
It's very good, but it's not something. I'm on a high. I'm buzzing right now. I'll watch that. You won't be.
I watched the first episode the other week. I've not dared watch another episode.
That's the problem. I've had this conversation with a few other people as well. It's a brilliant series. It's really well done. Absolutely top notch in all ways. It's just bleak.
Mm.
Yes. Yes, it was very bleak.
That I think I'm kind of edging away from bleakness at the moment because I feel like I need something more lighthearted in my life.
Yes.
That's kind of why I've kind of liked Lucifer recently. Which we've now seen all of season 2 of.
Yes.
So, you know, that's still kind of dramatic and, you know, whatnot, but it's still quite, you know, cool and nice to watch. And
his satire is quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
His little comments.
Yes.
I just see her grinning to herself when he's trying to interact with the kid, Chloe's kid.
Mm.
Yeah. And that is definitely a high point of TV at the moment, Lucifer.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait for season 3.
Mm. Bring it on.
Just, I was so concerned when I heard that they were umming and ahhing, and thought, oh God, it's on Fox as well. Oh, you murderers.
But I think one of the things that I'm really going to miss about Sense8 is despite the fact that they're not quite in a hopeless situation, but that there's still that light that, you know, kind of people keep on turning on, as it were.
It was an optimism.
Yes.
It was just, sometimes I'd be watching the series and I'd just be thinking, I'm not sure if this has got some of the best ideas in a series I've ever watched, you know, like the, was it Homo Superior or Homo Sensei or whatever they're, you know, yeah, calling it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, I don't, it, like, and I'm just sort of going, but it's like, generally, yeah, it's just, I like this series because it is...
It's entertaining. It makes you think.
And the fact that there are other clusters around, and the fact that it's kind of unresolved and stuff, and it's just like, it feels like it was kind of this beautiful flower that was just about to bloom.
Yes.
And now it's been plucked and is, you know, waiting in the supermarket for some asshole to pay for it and, I don't know, give it to whatever. Yep. That metaphor just kind of went downhill there.
I'll just say, well, two things. One, daft pluckers.
Yep.
Two, the thing that comes to mind is a photo from, I think, was it last year, where it was just an Aldi or a little, you know, checkout, you know, conveyor. And there was only two items on it. And it was a single red rose and a packet of Durex condoms.
Wow, somebody's hopeful.
And yeah, it was just, you know, optimism.jpg. I bought you a red rose. How about it?
Yes.
That's what that was.
I mean, even if you're going to go, you know, kind of conventional like that, surely the chocolates as well, which, you know, chocolates are meant to be.
Oh, come on, let's not be too extravagant here. I mean, you know, a single red rose and some chocolates. I mean, that's a bit much, isn't it? That's a bit showy.
Yeah, they'd probably pick up a packet of roses and be like, "Wow, two in one."
No, packet of rollers.
Packet of rollers.
And they say romance is dead.
Yeah, because it's got like a flower on it or something. How about you can have half the packet.
So you weren't going to just go, "Oh, I love you so much, you can have my last rollo."
Thing is, I don't want to be the make you feel old thing, but how long is it since they used that slogan in the advertising campaigns?
A long, long time ago.
Yep, we were allowed to
dance along the hills without any cares in the world.
Or without your knees clicking.
Well, if your knees click, I think you should be going to see the doctor.
At your age?
Yeah. It should be that bad already.
Or if you stand up and you just go, oh, when you stand.
Oh my!
I don't think.
Or if you have a cup of tea or, you know, a coffee or something, and you just go, ah. Those are the barometers of you're old.
I think somebody should tell Jupiter.
I'd like to say that I don't do any of those things.
Sure you don't.
Sorry, what? You don't do any of those things?
No.
Okay.
Those things that you've just demonstrated so authentically.
Hang on. Well, yeah.
Just get up for something. And I'll just sit down. Click.
I told you not to open up that web page again.
Yeah. That was it. No, that's for the After Dark episode.
So. Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Oh dear.
Well, go for it. First.
Well, I was just gonna sort of like say, getting back to it, are we buying the, you know, the line that it's too expensive, or do you think that there's more of a insidious reason why? I mean, I know there's kind of theories banding around the internet at the moment about, you know, the fact that they've cut back on the shows that are more progressive. So is it, have they been listening to Marvel?
Well, surely would they be going the other way, because Marvel have suddenly found out that hang on, you can have a superhero movie which can make big money,
yeah,
and be higher age rated. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've done that twice now, so they've suddenly realised that, hang on, the 1980s might have had a point.
Yeah. I personally believe that I think we're going to see a lot more collaboration for these shows. I think they are watching money, by the looks of things, definitely. I do think money has got a part to it, purely because of the way they then get revenue back in from ads and that sort of thing. So they've got to rely on subscribers and subscription fees.
Hmm.
I do think they are slowly shifting to more collaborations rather than their own stuff. That's the impression I get anyway. Because a lot of the shows they've come up recently have been collaborations. Even the Marvel shows are in collaboration with ABC Studios, aren't they?
Yeah, they're made by ABC Studios for Netflix.
Ah, right, okay.
So I think with that in mind, I think we are seeing more of a slow progression towards more collaborations.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of inevitable because Netflix started off as just buying things in so you could watch them streaming. Their DVD, business.
Yes. And then they started diversifying into their own shows to get a rung above the competition like Amazon Prime and, other...
Yeah.
Hulu and other bits, because in America they've got quite a choice, haven't they? Hulu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they were doing that deliberately to get a rung above. And I think it's probably to do with more with finances and being stretched a little bit too thin.
Yeah, I think with Sensei, it is down to the money. They were looking at the amount of, probably the amount of, people who were streaming it, or the amount of people...
Yeah.
Who would say, yes, I subscribe to Netflix and this is one of the reasons.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, the amount that they were, putting into it and thinking, not quite sure it balances out. They are a business.
Mm. Yeah.
After all. Even when it comes to, the BBC, who don't operate, so much as a business, if something doesn't get good ratings, within reason, it's not... yes, they, they, the way that they, the BBC chase ratings is because they want to make sure that, if they make something, it will get a decent amount of views. But you can also get some, a program about dolls of ancient Egypt or something like that. But that'll be on a lower budget and on BBC 4.
Yes.
So, yeah. Everyone has to be aware of ratings, either because they're putting advertiser bums on seats, or just because it's the share of their revenue people, their revenue stream, who are actually watching and enjoying the thing that they're putting there.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose looking at like other Netflix owned shows like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. Do you reckon they would be definitely cheaper to produce?
Yes.
Definitely. Not so much location shooting, not so many different continents to fly to.
I do know that House of Cards is expensive-ish, but it also benefits from being able to use sets which, you know, are already in existence.
Yeah.
Because there are one or two things that have featured the White House. And, you know, the surrounding area of Washington, and, you know, they can always do, you know, location shots and all that kind of thing. So House of Cards, I would say, is, you know, would be within the realms of a, you know, network television. But, you know, as you know, famously, you know, turned out, you know, they hawked that around. Network TV, you know, looked at it and thought, oh, that's too pricey. And Netflix stumped up for it, but on the condition that, you know, they commissioned, you know, several seasons of it. And that's worked out well for all involved.
Definitely. And Orange is the New Black is pretty much set, isn't it?
I think they film in an old prison, which got, you know, shut down.
Yes, yeah, so it's all just one location.
Yeah, so far as I know, it is pretty much like that. So, you know, they're lucky in that they can, you know, they have a place.
Yeah. Cool. So, yes, I think, unfortunately, it's just costs on that one, I think. Bless them. But I still think they could afford to do some specials.
But, I mean, if they change stuff up, they could probably afford to, you know, like keep the premise and whatnot and just do it more on a budget.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know it's kind of a bad example, but I know once upon a time the amount of, like, you know, kind of green screen rooms that they used, and it's kind of obvious, but, you know, and there are shows that do that. I mean, I know it might be a slight betrayal to, you know, the filmmaking, you know.
Ethos behind it all.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me that Game of Thrones is not filmed in the middle of, like, a medieval Dyson sphere? That they didn't build that? Fake news.
But
it's clearly real.
If it feels like there's kind of ways that they could, you know, just kind of reduce the budget, like slash it by like a half or whatnot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have now had an image, you know, put in my head by, you know, observing lots of things where they've used bad blue screen in the, yes, you know, and growing up and watching it in the 1980s.
Hmm.
Shut up, I am old, yes. And, you know, thinking, yes, here we are in India, and, you know, them having probably, you know, blue or green fringing around them, the lighting being entirely wrong.
To be fair, I mean, that's, you know, that's not even early days of, you know, Chroma King or whatnot, but by the same token, production values for TV shows have vastly improved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, you can get away with, you know, it's always quite, for example, Boardwalk Empire was a series I really enjoyed, and that had lots of CG in, for the simple reason that they were recreating, like, 1920s Atlantic City, New York, and, you know, places like that, so, you know, they kind of had to, you know, you couldn't have all these, you know, bits of cityscape and, you know, casinos, which, you know, exists now. So, you know, they had to do all that, and it looks pretty good, but at times, you know, it still had a little sort of bit of an eerie feeling to it. But, yeah. One of the reasons I liked, you know, all the location stuff on Sense8 was that you could tell, but there are ways around that.
Yeah.
I understand both, really. I understand both reasons, and it's just...
It's a shame. So, moving on. Mr. Paul, what have you been up to?
Me? Ooh. Went to the cinema to watch Wonder Woman.
Yay! Did you enjoy?
I very much enjoyed it. Emily thought it was absolutely fantastic. And, yeah, just thoroughly enjoyed it. It was probably the first DC extended universe film that is actually any good to a certain extent. So I did that kind of like Man of Steel, though it had its problems, and I liked Batman vs. Superman, but it also had its problems. Suicide Squad not so much. Still way too many problems, but this one did seem like it was, you know, well, a worthy start, as it were.
Good. Excellent.
I do want to see it.
I do as well. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been saying for a while now, it actually looks really, really good. Which is nice.
Then I've been lured before by good-looking trailers.
Yes, yeah, I have as well. But
and then every now and again, they remind me that Captain Kirk's in it. And it's just, oh yeah, he's in it as well. Shit. Chris Hardwood. Chris Plasterboard.
Okay. It's not too bad, isn't it? Maybe
good.
The odd moment where he might be a bit too cocky or whatnot, but
surely not.
In the end, I think Wonder Woman or Diana Prince
I bet he gets his own aircraft carrier by the end of the, you know, the first half of the the film, doesn't he?
Wrong era, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, no reason. Just have an aircraft carrier. We've got some spare. Go do something.
Okay.
I don't like. Anyway, yeah, I'll shut up.
No, it's actually, you know, fairly all right in it, to be honest. Relatively.
Would it have been better without him?
What do you mean, like as a different character?
Why does a man have to be there anyway?
No, it makes sense because in story, obviously, you've got like several different, you know, kind of characters which are, you know, used to do different things. Chris Pine's character is kind of the call to action character, so it is kind of essential for the story to have a character, you know. That
like
you know,
him.
Calls.
He has purpose.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. He has purpose.
Yay.
Well, that'll be a first. I'll just keep digging there.
Anything else, Paul? Before.
Let's see. Finish watching the end of Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, right.
That was. I think that seems to be a thing with zombies recently, being like, you know, kind of this society's secret and like in hiding and whatnot, because there's obviously kind of iZombie as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of a completely different take on it, but still quite cool.
Cool.
Awesome. I think I've just been like doing bits and dabs here and there, but nothing really noteworthy.
Mr. Retroid, apart from getting a voodoo doll of Chris Pine and stabbing lots of needles into it, anything you've been up to?
Like I said, Chris Plasterboard. Chris Insulation.
See, these sound like they're Marvel Chris's.
They probably are. Probably violated about 5 copyrights. That's probably half the characters in, you know, Iron Fist Season 2 that have accidentally revealed.
Chris.
This whole episode has been unscripted and I've had no influence over this whatsoever. Carry on, Richard.
I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to have, you know, like 3 people that are named the same and on the same universe, you know, that would be terrible. Wouldn't that be right, Paul?
That would be really confusing for everyone involved and the listeners. I mean, viewers. Yeah.
I completely agree, Paul. How about you, Paul?
Which one are you talking to now, Paul?
Yes, Paul. I'm you, Paul.
You are? What did you say?
You, Paul.
And it's good night for me.
I've confused Cookie so much, I've forced him to shut down.
Metroid.
I have been finishing off watching Season 2 of Into the Badlands.
Oh, right, cool.
And it is rather good and really enjoyed it. And the Bastards, because that's a season finished with and we have to wait now for Season 3.
Cool.
I mean, okay. What other series can you see Nick Frost be a sort of surly, womanizing, drunken warrior monk with mystic powers?
Hey, what?
Ah, that got you, didn't it?
That does sound awesome.
Yes, it did.
Nick Frost.
Nick Frost. Okay. Our Nick Frost. Brit.
Cool.
Nick Frost.
Oh, yeah,
turns
yeah.
up. You know, the first episode of season two, he is chained to Sonny, the hero of the first season, and of course he continues to be the hero of the second as well. And more of the world is revealed, and there are more machinations with all the barons.
Cool.
And I really quite enjoyed it, and there are hints of the world that came before.
Cool.
Like when Sonny and Nick Frost, or Bargy, I think his character's name is in this, because otherwise it's just that's Nick Frost. you know, are chained together by slavers, and they're digging things up, and they're looking for valuables, and you know they find little things like little metal toy cars and stuff. So you know they're. It's very clear that there was a world before, and it's never, you know, explicitly laid out what happened to it, just that it doesn't exist anymore. And this is what, you know, this is what, you know, is around now.
Yeah.
It is broadly, what I took away from some of the hints was that the mystic warriors that they have, like MK, who was the young lad from the first season, where if he got harmed or cut, his eyes would turn black and he would just, you know, go into a psychopathic rage until it passed, and you know, just kill everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who they are. That's kind of hinted at. They find an old magazine.
No.
And it's got, you know, a cityscape, and it says that, you know, the future of biotech.
Mm.
So it's kind of hinted that that's, you know, related, but yeah, you know, the world is, you know, the you know the barons. Well, you know, I've said before about, you know, roughly what the world's like, but yeah, it's kind of progressing in the we're going to see more of outside this, you know, this relatively small area of the, you know, of the story world.
Yeah, cool.
And I look forward to it. It's a very enjoyable series. Sunny and Bargy do work well, you know, together as a partnership.
Yep.
So, yeah, more please.
Excellent stuff.
And of course, one of my favourite things of any series, which is a redhead in high heels who goes around murdering people.
Fair play.
So everyone's a winner. Also been watching House of Cards and... trying to remember what happened about three seasons ago. I'm going, oh yeah, a thing happened, didn't it? Yeah.
I see your problem about binge watching, because it's even longer since you saw the last episode.
Yeah, so it's great that we have the whole season to watch. It's bad that it's been almost a year since the last season, and this is, I think, season 5.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so House of Cards is one of those. I think I'm going to, you know, watch it in one splurge when it's finished. You know, give it a little bit of a wait and then say, you know, once it's over with and done, I can watch it from the beginning, like Lost, which can go to hell. I may have mentioned that the end of Lost bothered me.
That's cool.
Let's see what else. I'm watching Gotham for some reason.
Okay.
I've been shouted at by a cat. Yeah, you may have heard. He's shouting at the door at the moment.
Oh, bless him.
No, I can't hear that.
I am not going to feed you, sir. No, go away. Staring at me.
Cool.
No, go away.
Okay, I'll go away.
Let's see. Yeah, I've been watching Gotham. I've been watching Agent. Finished the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, Yeah.
Has that finished on UK TV yet?
I don't believe so. I don't think so. I think we're on episode 19, so we're near the end.
Yeah, the ending really surprised me. I mean, Godzilla. That was a bit of a shock. Yeah, I've enjoyed it, even though it is, it's still far more, and I say it, and I use the term in the bad sense, it's still far too comic booky. In some ways for me, it's a little bit, but I like it. It's quality of the writing and the characterization that keeps me watching.
Cool.
Nice. Other than that, I've not been doing much else because I've been house sitting and then I've been far too bloody tired to do anything. So I've just been watching a few episodes of something, passing on.
Fair enough. I have been not much. I treated myself to Injustice 2. I played it for a day and a half, and then my PS4 died.
Quality.
I'm really hoping that they announce Injustice 2 for the Switch.
Really cool, because it's a really, really good fighting game.
I like the look of it.
Yeah, it's improved on the first one a lot. The story I actually finished before it deleted my profile and switched off the PS4. The story was actually quite captivating. The whole multiverse where you've got random challenges which change on an hourly basis, which is great. So you have different versions of the Earth, different characters again, or different versions of the characters, all with different challenges, which is quite cool. As I say, it updates every hour as well. So you can only complete those challenges within that hour. Then you get a load of more new ones that you can choose and go around. It's always continuously changing, which is quite nice.
Mm.
And then you've got the multiplayer as well, which is pretty cool as well. What I've managed to play of it anyway. So really enjoyed that. Watching Doctor Who and beginning to get a little bit disheartened.
Ooh.
I like the fact Missy was back on Friday for the 5 minutes that she was in it. I don't know, the last 3 episodes we've gone back to being quite long story arcs, trying to shove as much in as possible, and I just don't like it. I think the first few episodes of it was a lot stronger this season.
I thought the monks were an alright idea.
I thought they were an alright idea.
I think there was just, I wasn't quite sure about them being in two episodes.
So that was quite good. But we've got the Ice Warriors back on.
And the stupidest scientist ever. Christ's sake. Really.
Yeah, that was
a bit ridiculous. That was a bit bizarre. But there we go. And that has been my lot recently, to be honest with you.
That's fair. Well, apart from, presumably looking on Facebook and Twitter and just despairing at the state of the world.
Yeah, but we've not got to go into that because we're here to not talk about crap like that.
If I'm a raging alcoholic, that's just shouting into the sky next week. You know how it went.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. But hopefully some sanity will come back.
If we can rely on the sense and good taste of the general public.
Yes.
Well, we're fucked again.
So, other than that, I think that's all we've got time for. So, it's goodbye from...
Kittens. It's goodnight from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's goodnight from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter's @PaulBlewett.
And it's good night for me, Paul, a.k.a. OneArmed_Cookie. You can find show notes over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. Do tweet at us. We like to read our tweets. And you can also find us on Facebook and Google+ as Nerd Assemble Podcast. Wishing you all a very good night.
Good night.
Vote. For God's sake, vote. Helps if you're in the UK, but vote anyway.
Wherever you are, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, just vote. It's a good idea.